messages for the fall entitled Rooted. Rooted. This is where I believe God wants to see us as a church, that we're rooted in His Word, we're rooted in a relationship with Him, that we're rooted in our relationship with one another, that we're rooted in our ministry and giftings and reaching others with the good news of Jesus Christ. What does all that involve? How does God want us to be rooted? Where does God want us to be rooted? And this morning I want us to look at Colossians chapter 2 as we begin this introductory message. I've entitled, Know Where You Are Planted. The question I want to ask today is, how are we to remain strong in the seasons of life? Where you place your faith determines your fruitfulness. Would you agree with me that God wants us to be fruitful? He wants us to be fruitful individually in our ministries, and He wants us to be fruitful as a church here in Sydney. How does that happen? It begins when we realize where we need to be planted and rooted. Let's look at chapter 2 of Colossians for a few moments. So then, verse 6, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And over in Ephesians chapter 3, we read, For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Why? What is His purpose? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, Highway Christian Fellowship in Sydney, that you, Peter Butendyke, that you, Susan Juthman, that you, Gene Hasker, that you, Highway, would be rooted and established in love, that you may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. Paul's prayer for the Colossians and the Ephesians is my prayer for myself, for my family, and for our church, that together, we would know God in intimacy and in power, that we would grow in His power, and that we would be strengthened together in faith, that we would be rooted, fruitful, and strong. The question I'm asking today is simply this: where are you planting yourself? Oh, so many people today are planting themselves on so many different types of soil. They're planting themselves even in good things, in their jobs, in their careers, in their education, in their even their church ministries, their family, their marriages. All of these things are well and fine. But my friends, God has so much more for us. And He wants us to be planted and our faith rooted so that we are fruitful to Him wherever that we go. Can I ask you a question? How many here have ever tried planting a tree or a garden? Now, don't all raise your hands, because I know many of you have, and many of you are a lot better at it than what I could ever imagine to be. I remember as a teenager, my dad did something that my sister and I never expected him to do. Dad grew up on a farm in Swedish Finland in Närpes. And growing up, all I ever heard from Dad was that he hated the farm. So after the war, he moved to Sweden to work with his brother. And then he was later on sponsored by an uncle to come to Hamilton, Ontario. There, Dad met Mom, they got married, and had me and my sister. We lived until I was 5 years old in Stony Creek. And when I was five, our family moved to the city of Toronto, where we lived in the same house until I went off to Bible college. During that time, Mom grew beautiful flower gardens. She indeed inherited her mother's, my grandmother's, green thumb. And while Dad and I planted a tree that's still standing today, I never saw Dad take any interest in doing anything else. As far as growing anything, Dad never showed any interest. When I was 16, Dad had a heart attack. Thankfully, it wasn't serious, but the doctor told Dad that he needed to do something other than work in order to help him relax. So what Dad did next absolutely blew my sister and I away. Something we never expected. We had this small little patch of ground in the backyard in between the shed and the back of the house. Nothing grew there. The soil wasn't right. Nothing was right. But Dad took that little small parcel of ground and he planted a tomato garden. Is that okay, Gene? Tomato? And this past week in prayer meeting, by the way, I also wanted to share that one of our other ministries is on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. We gather as a church body in the prayer room to pray for our town, for our world, for our nation, and for our families. And we invite you to join us on these Thursday nights. Well, someone was passing around these little packets of tomatoes, and it reminded me of this story of Dad. And every day, Kathy and I would scratch our heads wondering, has Dad lost it? But there he would. Every morning, he would tend his little garden. Every evening, he would come home from work and he would water and weed and he would speak to and pray over his tomato plants. We didn't think anything would happen. But we never realized that Dad grew up in what was affectionately called the tomato capital of Finland, in Närpes. They just had their tomato festival. And that's what Dad grew up planting and growing, was tomatoes. Kathy and I, we eventually called it Dad's Holy Tomato Plant Garden. But Dad was given a purpose. He fell into that garden with everything he had because he had a purpose. He wanted to see that plant grow, not just like any other plant, but to grow and to be and to make a harvest. Jesus has given us new life through the new birth. And I believe it's reasonable to suggest that he expects us to be fruitful, mature, and to multiply. And what a sad thing it is as believers when we're no longer striving for a greater relationship with Jesus and his kingdom grace. Do you know your purpose in his kingdom? Do you know why you are here? Do you know what God has placed you here in Sydney and at Highway Christian Fellowship for? It's more than just coming week to week, day to day, Bible study to Bible study. No, God has so much more for you and I. He means for us to flourish, to be fruitful. Where does this fruitful life begin? First of all, it begins as we are walking consistently for him. Look at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. It begins with relationship. Now, this should not be anything new to any of us. Most of us here today, at some point, we can pinpoint that moment when we accepted Jesus Christ into our lives. We repented of our sins. We made him Lord of our lives. We can pinpoint the day. Paul was writing to a Colossian church that was confused. They knew they were born again. But from every corner around, they were being inundated with all kinds of ideas and false doctrines saying that Jesus isn't the only way, that there are other ways to God, that Jesus is only one small emanation, and that those who have greater revelation and knowledge, they will have a deeper relationship. No. When I think of this letter, I'm thinking of our own situation and how, like the Colossians, we are being inundated with all kinds of weird and strange and false teachings suggesting that Jesus isn't all there is. I want us to know here and now that this church believes, your pastor will preach for from now until eternity, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is the one and only way to God the Father. There is no other way. And folk, our churches need to get back to this. Our churches need to stop pandering to all of the different philosophies that are being perpetrated in our conferences, on the internet, in our universities. We, as believers, need to be firm in our faith that Jesus Christ himself is Lord and there is no one else. We have come into a relationship with him. And Paul says, not only do we have a relationship, we have received Christ Jesus, but we are to walk with him. And Paul exhorts the believers that their relationship with Jesus not only was exclusive, but continuing. It was not a one-time act in their past, but a growing relationship. Spiritual fruitfulness is a process. It's a long walk of faith, not a 100-yard dash. There was once a farmer who went to town to purchase seeds for his farm. As he was returning home from home, one of the squash seeds he had purchased fell from his pocket onto the ground. It happened that within a few feet was another seed of a different type. The place where the two seeds lay was rather fertile, and miraculously they both took root. After about a week, the squash seed showed signs of growth. The second seed showed none. After 2 weeks, the squash began to sprout leaves, while the second seed showed nothing. After 7 weeks, the squash began to show fruit. The second seed still showed nada. 4 more weeks came and went. The squash plant reached the end of its fruit-bearing life and stopped. The other seed, however, something strange was happening. A tiny sprout began to push its way through the ground. It didn't take weeks, months, but years later, while the squash was all but forgotten, that one tiny seed, an acorn, had grown to become a mighty oak tree. And many people want their faith to be like the squash. They want to experience everything right now, rather than be rooted for life for the long term. My friends, we all want to flourish and to grow as followers of Jesus. But all too many fail because they want instant coffee growth. I've got a secret to tell you. Instant coffee is of the devil. I'm positive. It tastes weird. It smells weird. It just isn't coffee. If you want good, good coffee, you gotta put it in the pot and let it brew and let the oil of the beans seep through into the water and that aroma just fill your house. I think you get my point, don't you? We are called to a day-by-day consistent walk of faith as we are rooted in God's love, his word, and the fellowship of believers. We need to walk out our faith consistently, regularly, every day. And then we need to let our roots grow down deep into him. The tense of this Greek word means once and for all having been rooted. It's so sad to see many Christians, they're not rooted plants, they're tumbleweeds. We are called not to be tumbleweeds going from here to there and never grounding ourselves. We're not to be blown with every wind of doctrine. No, we're to root ourselves consistently and deeply in Christ. And once we're rooted by faith in him, then there's no need to change soil. The roots draw up from the nourishment that only that the tree can grow. The roots give us strength and stability. Oh, I pray that our church will be growing as we root ourselves deeply in his, in a relationship with him, in his word, and in fellowship. This image recalls Jeremiah's blessing on the one who trusts in the Lord. Jeremiah 17, verse 7, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. My friend, where are you planting yourselves today? Fruitfulness begins by planting yourself in Christ. Let your roots grow deep into him, and let your lives be built up into him. And here Paul mixes metaphors, moving from an agricultural illustration to an architectural one. He calls us to move from a plant being rooted in good soil to a building being constructed on a firm foundation, Jesus Christ. To be built up in him implies that every believer is still under construction. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Wives, you can still love your husbands because God's still working in them. By the way, guys, I hope to see you on the 30th as we fill this auditorium with his praises, and as we hear from Bill Innes, it's going to be a great men's event. You can sign the list in the back or online through our church website, but I hope to see you there. You see, when you and I became believers, it wasn't salvation happened instantly, and we became sons and daughters of God. Our walk of faith is taking time. And we are constantly building ourselves in. How does this happen? Two ways. Number one, we are built on his word, and we are built as we are in community. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And he's saying, you all, the church, Highway Christian Fellowship, you meet at a building here at 10364 McDonald Park Road, but this building isn't the church. You all are the church. Each of us here together are the building of God. In Ephesians 2:19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Do you know where you're planted today? Are you rooting yourself in Christ? Are you building your lives upon him, his word, and in the felt and in community? For as you do, your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. I hear it every day. I've heard it my whole life. Oh, that's okay, Pastor. Church isn't for me. I love Jesus, but in my own way, alone at home. There are places in the world where they cannot worship publicly in a church building And so they meet secretly in homes, in villages, in caves, in warehouses. But folk, we have been blessed in Canada with the freedom to be able to gather and to declare his praise. We have no excuse not to come together. We have no excuse to forsake the assembling of ourselves, but that now we can come, we can worship together, we can serve together, and we can learn together as we grow together in the truth of his word. We grow together. Where are you planted today? Are you rooted in him? Are you growing and built up in him? For as you do, you will overflow with thankfulness. I love this. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. How many have ever been to Niagara Falls? Many of us have. As a young child living in Hamilton, we would drive there often in the summer with mom and dad. And I will never, ever forget the sound of those waters. Man, it's a thunderous sound, isn't it? Several years ago, when we had a trailer at Lakeshore Pentecostal Camp in Coburg, friends of ours who were in the trailer next to us, they were taking their kids on a weekend trip to Niagara Falls, a camping trip. And they asked if Michael and Esther would go with them. Philip was actually working at the camp, and so he was unable to go. So Michael and Esther went. It would be their very first time, and I couldn't wait to hear their reaction. And so Sunday night came, and Rob and Cora Lee, they brought their kids, and Esther and Michael came into the trailer, and Michael could not stop talking about the falls. Dad, it sounded like a bomb. We heard it miles away. The roar of the water just teeming over that cliff. He was so excited and thrilled. His sister, on the other hand, rolls her eyes on the back of her head and says, "Water over rocks, big deal." You know what's really sad is that when we as believers, we get so used to the way things are, we get so used to our relationship with God that there's no more wow factor. There's no more, God, you're doing this. And we take the things of God for granted. And our roots are no longer drawing up from the nutrients of the ground. Oh God, help us as a church never become so used to the things of God that we forget the amazing power and grace and love that is Jesus. Oh Lord, help us to be a people of unceasing thankfulness, which is an unfailing mark of a healthy spiritual life. The Japanese introduced a tree to the world that is called the bonsai tree. It's measured in inches instead of feet, as other trees are measured. It's not allowed to reach anywhere near its full growth potential, but instead grows in a stunted miniature form. The reason for it growing in stunted form is that when it first struck its head out of the ground as a sapling, the owner pulled it out of the soil and tied off its main taproot and some of its branch feeder roots and then replanted it. By doing this, its grower deliberately stunted its growth by limiting the root's ability to spread out and grow deep and take in enough of the soil's nutrients for a normal growth. What was done to the bonsai tree by its owner is what Satan has purposed to do with every believer, if he can. If he can, he's going to try to cut us off at the root. He's going to cut off the taproot of prayer. He's going to try to cut off the taproot of community. He's going to try to cut off the taproot of his word. He wants to limit our receiving from God and all that God has for us so that we will not be the fruitful church that God has purposed us to be. And all I can say to us as a church, don't let him do it. God is up to something. He's up to something really good in this house. He has planted us here, not by accident, but to fulfill his purpose. In Christ, we are called together as we are built together as a holy habitation for him. God is filling this house with his Spirit. He is continually going to fill this house with men and women and boys and girls who together will learn and grow and to worship. He's filling this house with his Spirit so that through the windows of our lives, he will manifest his life to Sydney and the world. As a church, we want to help you find your place in the family. If I could share just one other thing that's going to be happening in the month of August, we are going to be highlighting missions. It's our annual Givetober Missions Emphasis Month. We have October. Well, I'm calling it Givetober. Did I say August? I know. Give me a break. I found out this past week I'm old. In Givetober is our time to emphasize both our local and global mission partners. We have speakers that will be coming and sharing what God is doing around Canada and the world through their ministries. We're going to be hearing from Bill Innes of Impactus of what God is doing through men in this country. We're going to be hearing from Tim Schindel of what God is doing in the legislatures across this land. And it is exciting. Folk, I can't wait for us to hear and to be part of that month. Then in the month of November, making sure I said that right, November, we're going to be sharing a time on Sunday nights called What's Next or Growth Tracks. And we want to help you take that next step in your walk of faith, in your relationship with this church. We want to help you discover your purpose of why God has placed you here right now. We want to help you connect with God, find freedom, discover your place, and ultimately to make a difference in Sydney and the world. But we can only do this together as we root ourselves deeply in Jesus. We heard from several of our ministry leaders. I'm going to invite Sue to come back, Pastor Sue. Pastor Sue is going to pray over each of our leaders. And if you are involved in a ministry, maybe it was one of the ones that we mentioned this morning, or you're involved in another ministry of our church, and I would be remiss if I didn't also remind us, I thank God for the team of people who look after our church grounds. Folk, that's an important service. Amen. Amelia and Peter do an awesome job keeping these grounds wonderful. But if you're involved in any ministry, I want you to stand right now. I invite you to stand.
Just stand where you are, please. If you're in a ministry team of some sorts in with us or have been, we would love for you to stand. And for those around you, to reach out and pray for those who are standing near you. Because the harder we press into what God has for us, sometimes the challenges come in play. Just like when you pray for patience and things happen to test it every time. So we want to say, God, as we pray now, Father, your heart is for your creation, and we are that. But not just us here in the building, not just us here as a representative in our family. Father, your heart is for those you created who still have not committed to you. So, Father, may everything we do be in obedience and serving you for the purpose of people coming to know you, people growing in their walk with you, that each and every day, as each of us who are even in leadership, we're still learning every day. There's always stuff, God, that sometimes we just don't get it right, or we slipped, or we've learned something new. God, help us all to continually press into you, to know who we are in you, to have a sense of your purpose. Because, Father, your will for our lives is for us to obey you and to serve those around us. And Father, as we work with each other, as we pray with each other, as we prepare Bible study words, prayer times, different sessions with students and reaching out into our community, as we pray for you to go ahead, we ask that we will remember you can order our steps. And that you will lead us to the places we are to be in. You will bring to us the people we are to speak to. You will have events happen that we are called for such a time as this to do your work. Father, I've said it before. The very least we can do is pray, but the very most we can do is pray too. So, Father, for those who don't know if there's a spot or a place, Father, I ask that we each search ourselves in obedience to your will for our lives. And, Lord, that we remember that everything we say and do is to bring people to Jesus, so that next year we'll have more new faces. More people being part of what your work is going on here, but because of Jesus in their life, who transforms them, who heals them, who renews them, who restores them, who brings them a hope of heaven. God, I pray that you will protect each and every of the leaders who have stepped up this year. Father, you will help them in guarding their gift. You will broaden their minds in the ways that you are having them teach your word. There will be creativity. There will be opportunity. There will be energy and capacity to do all that you have called each and every one of us to do. And Father, may we offer it to you with thanksgiving, not with complaining. Oh, I'm so busy. Father, your grace is sufficient, but Lord, it's also abundant and goes farther beyond anything that we know to say or to do. So Father, I pray for an anointing and a protection on our leaders. Would you guard them, guard their families, guard their health, guard their finances, guard their relationships, guard their jobs. And Father, that we gather each week doing work you have called each of us to do at this address, which is not an accident for any of us here. We are here on purpose, your plan, your will, for your glory. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.
God bless.